Hello.
Testing. Mic check.
Testing
Mic
one.
check. Mic check.
I'm not ready.
You're not ready.
There, I'm ready.
What are you ready for? Oh,
I'm
now
ready.
of course you're ready. The signal just went low.
It went and dropped. Okay,
Yeah, that means you're ready.
I'm gonna
Because
kick
when you're
myself.
not ready, the signal is really high and awesome.
And once you connect and steal all my bandwidth, then
Yeah.
it's all
If
over.
Keith Knudsen talks to you or asks you a question about your stapled stomach, he's really concerned.
It's been that way for years, so.
He doesn't believe it. He's like, "You were never fat. Why'd you staple your stomach?" But
Precautionary measure.
we said that used to be as big as John Candy.
Well, yeah, because when I was in Canada,
Yeah.
it's like all Canadians were fat.
All that bag bacon, right?
Yeah, well, I got all the Canadian bacon. It's good stuff. All the beers and Canadian
Yeah,
bacon.
beers and bacon. The 12 days of Christmas in Canada, they have
Tim
those.
Hortons, all the Tim Hortons, man.
Yeah.
Tim Hortons for breakfast every morning.
And you said, "Damn, it's time to staple it and stop eating meat. Stop eating chickens. Kill the fish."
Yep, and I turned it all around. All because of modern science.
Yeah, the fish digest better in a stapled stomach. They're just fat.
Now it's great. My stomach can hold exactly half a donut.
Yeah, half a donut. Canned
Yeah.
fish. Can't spreaded fish in it too.
Well, that fits because it's already the fish is already processed and broken down, so my stomach it's easy on my stomach.
Ah.
It's already liquefied. Like
Yeah.
liquefied fish is fine.
Alan said I killed him on the last podcast with all the chewing.
Were you chewing? Oh yeah, you
Yeah,
were
I was
eating
eating pancakes.
chilies or something. Oh yeah,
No,
pancakes.
pancakes.
But you were talking about it, so it was
Yeah, I
highly
was
entertaining.
adding. That's 4D. I want you to experience my eating.
Come on, Alan. Don't you like us entering your ear holes?
Yeah.
Chewing up in your ear holes?
That's right.
The experience, auditory experience.
You think the crossed would like not eat in front of you? Fuck no, they would eat right in front of you. They would
And
eat anything in front of you.
they would do something very different to your ear holes.
Yes, they would fuck those ear holes. The crossed would fuck them.
Me lick them
Any
first.
orifice is a
Open season.
any open season. And
Any
if you
orifice.
run out of orifices, they make their own.
That's true. They don't really care about or they don't really yeah, they don't really care about the orifices. They'll just make their own and be done with
Yeah.
with whatever objects at hand. Crossed. I just got the trade. I haven't read it yet for the Alan Moore one.
Oh, it's about
100
time. God
Days.
dang, you're so behind.
I'm behind the times.
And by the time you
Damn
get
it.
the trades, it's like way late, and I've already read it. And I don't remember it by the time you talk about it. I'm
That
old
I'm
as
actually
shit,
kidding.
man.
I know things fade with age. We lose our short-term memory.
Yeah.
I don't remember why. See, that just goes to show you how old I am. I read about why we lose our short-term memory,
You don't
but then
remember?
I forgot it. Yeah, I instantly forgot it. As soon as I read it, I forgot it.
Oh, damn.
Son of a bitch. There is a reason for it, though. Our long-term memory is good, though.
Well, I got to meet Chris Ivy.
Yes, welcome back from Baltimore,
Comic Con,
Ohio.
and I got the comic creds, the con
I mean,
creds, so I'm gonna start coughing. If I cough, I'll try to go mute.
that's because you touch all of the surfaces
I licked a
and
lot
shake
of
all of the
creators, so I'm
hands.
sorry.
lick a lot of palms.
Yeah, they're like, why the fuck are you licking my hand? And it's because that draws the comics that I love.
That's right.
That
Is that
writes
the
the comics that I love. And then
you
I
always
just like lick it.
You go up to them and say, are you right-handed or left-handed? They're like, I'm
Yeah.
left-handed. Why?
That's right. And I try to, you know, be good about it and put like antibacterial on my tongue afterwards, and it doesn't always work.
You say, Barb, give me a spray.
Yeah,
Give me a shot.
spray.
Give me a shot of the
Send me
antibacterial.
to send me to Valhalla with the antibacterial gel.
That kind of reminds me of my new character, the Licker.
The liquor?
It licks your hands and steals your powers.
Oh, he steals your creativeness or whatever
Right.
your hands do.
So he'll walk up to like.
So like, if it was to go to steal Daryl's ability, you'd be jacking off all the
Oh
time,
yeah, that'd
right?
be bad.
Oh shit, you'd be like, ah.
Where's the spaghetti?
Where's the spaghetti? Your hands would always be looking for spaghetti to rub
one,
in the spaghetti.
Yeah, one hand down the pants and the other one in the spaghetti.
That's right. He loves to like grab like the meat sauce with his hands, like, and play with the balls. Especially if the meat sauce has meatballs and Italian sausage. He's
Oh
like,
boy.
oh. And then what he does with the other hand is he just, you know, that liquor would have, so he would never leave house.
Depends which hand he licked.
Oh, if he tries to do it with the wrong hand, he's in trouble.
Yeah.
He'll never work his way to completion. It's like an infinite loop in programming.
That's right.
If you use the wrong hand.
Yeah, then you end up one hand, one hand that's intending on grabbing a meatball will be grabbing another kind of ball.
That's right.
And you'll be jerking off your spaghetti. That's a mess. What are you doing to that spaghetti, sir?
I'm going to title this episode Jerking with Wrong Hand.
You're just making it so that no one will download these episodes.
That's right. Our numbers are dropping. Like, sites are banning of holding our RSS feed.
I know. How am I supposed to share these? I can't even put the name of the shows in my.
And I noticed all our friends took us off their like friends podcast friends list.
Well, you can't jerking off spaghetti. How are you going to put that as here? Listen to this episode. Jerking off with spaghetti.
Yeah, it's a creative. I think the DC Noise one's called Hand Solo. So there's a jerk off theme.
Hand Solo. So Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore Comic Con. I met Chris Ivey, and the one thing that was interesting is you guys both don't. You guys kind of have the same dietary practices.
Yes, he's even more
but
strict.
But he doesn't have no he's not. I think he's more accepting of us. Like you always put your you always look down upon us, and you have like one squinting eye and one eye open. And when you look
judgment.
At us, it's constant judgment. Me and Daryl have both experienced that. And then you kind of like look down at our bellies when we're eating. You like look at us, and you're gonna eat.
I don't
all
say
that?
Anything though. I just kind of roll my
no,
eyes.
No, you judge us. That's right.
Silently
Chris
judge.
Ivey doesn't judge us. He doesn't judge us. He's more accepting.
Let's say Daryl always puts his arm around his plate, like kind of in shame to hide what he's
yeah,
eating.
Yeah, you actually make him feel bad. It was funny though, because Daryl at Baltimore, the first day we were there, he was calling everybody else fat asses because everybody else wanted to eat like three or four times. Like, you fat ass motherfucker. And then it's like 2 a.m. or fucking, it's like late, like almost midnight, and he says, let's stop off and get some spaghetti.
So caught up to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
he's got a weakness for spaghetti, like nobody's business. Like he can't say no. That's his kryptonite. Like
yeah,
he could finish
off his day with spaghetti.
Unless he like goes for Italian at dinner and eats Italian, then that's the only way to save him from like passing an Italian place like at 2 a.m. and saying, I need some spaghetti.
It's understandable. Spaghetti is good. I guess there could be worse things than spaghetti.
Well, there's meat. You like the meat in the spaghetti? You like meatballs or turkey balls?
No. Of course not. Veggie meatballs.
Oh,
Don't you
Jesus.
see my profile pic?
Yeah, veggie balls. They come in a carton of eggs.
Perfectly cylindrical balls.
And
All my balls are all like the same size. No deviation.
they're
Look at the
always bouncing
deviation of my
to the left
balls.
and to the right. It's my belief that your big balls should be held every night. I loved that song when I was a kid. I used to sing it so loud. I've got big balls. She's got big balls. But we've got the biggest balls of them all.
Didn't it make you feel dirty? Or did
No.
you, or you liked feeling
I
dirty?
liked feeling dirty.
That's a interesting time in a boy's life, and he discovers balls and songs about balls. Boys can bond over their songs of balls, wave them proudly before one another
Yeah.
around the campfire.
So we missed you at Baltimore. I don't know why you didn't like just
Hop on a plane.
cut your ties and hop on a plane. Because
One day I'll have
you're the
to.
only one like me that is not afraid to lick palms.
Don't lick palms.
You lick palms.
I'm very germophobic. Well, not germophobic. I'm very.
You only go for the cock. You don't go for the hand.
Well, that's clean because it's in the pants.
That's in
It's
pants.
protected.
It's
It's
protected.
protected. Protected from the germs. So,
It doesn't go touching surfaces, right?
right. Yeah, it's not like being, yeah, it's not shaking. People aren't
It's not like
shaking
you
it.
pull your dick out and you start slapping it on the
Slapping it
table
around the table,
or
right.
use it on the stairs
Or the hand, yeah, the handrail.
or
Rubbing it
push
on the handrail.
elevator
Elevator
button,
button.
right?
Well, not usually, but in emergencies, I
I
do it
know at
sometimes.
Lord Baltimore they tend to pull their dicks out and touch the
Yeah, t pull your
touch
dick
the
out,
buttons
take off
and
the condom, and
pull out the condom and leave it in the corner after they've Lord Baltimore.
that's smart though. If you're gonna push the buttons and elevator buttons with your dick, be sure to wear protection because
Yeah,
you
at
never
least that
know.
person had the courtesy, right? I
Yeah, you
mean,
never know who's touched those buttons, so.
that must have been the sign you put in the elevator. It must have worked.
Please use protection
Yeah,
before
please use
pressing buttons.
protection before you press the buttons with your dick. Yeah. So yeah, it was.
Were the highlights of the show besides getting to meet people? I heard Chris Ivey was a disappointment.
What?
I think you posted that.
I didn't post it that.
Oh, never mind. That's a D DM, never mind. So at this point, it's probably not as big a deal to you to meet people because, like, you've had this experience many times now, where you meet podcasting partners or
Yeah, it's weird the first time, don't you think?
online people.
The very first time.
Yeah, it's always weird because it's like this person that you know pretty intimately,
Yeah.
but you've never like seen them their face or you've never been in the same space as them, so
Yeah.
it's a little bit of awkwardness at
I think
first.
when I met people at Heroes Con the very first time I went, it was kind of weird. But it was only weird the first day. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you get over it pretty quick.
Yeah, once you start going to meals and it's more casual, then you loosen up and you open.
Once you start talking, then
Yeah.
your brain makes the connections between this person in front of you and this
Yeah.
person they talk to all the time.
Well, we spent a lot of time with Alan and Daryl and Tom King and Luke. Luke would come around sometimes, but he was staying in a. He was like not in a. I don't think he was staying at like a hotel. I think he was like in. They like he like rented a house with four other guys. I guess some people like do that. Like if they have a house, they'll
Yeah.
like rent out their house,
Right.
which is weird. I
Yeah,
mean,
there's that one service that does that. I
yeah.
don't remember what it's called.
I mean, it's not weird for the renter. I think it would be really weird for the person. I mean, it's weird for the person that is renting, not for the person that is spending it like it's a hotel. Because it's just like they're sleeping in your beds. Do you know what I mean? That would be weird.
Yeah, it would be weird to if that was your main if that was your main residence. People may have it just for no, I guess like for that. I guess if you're near a convention center, then just whenever there's a big show in town, you rent out your
Well,
house.
if you have a house, it's one thing if you have a house and you always rent it, but it's another thing if it's your house, like
Right. Or
if
you live
it's
in
your
there the rest of
house,
the
even if
year.
you're there like half a year and then half a year you're somewhere else, you're still going back to that house and you're still in the same beds. That's kind of weird.
Yeah, people have been doing stuff in your bed
Yeah.
that you're gonna now sleep in. Yeah, you'd get used to it. It's probably a mental thing at first, but then after a while, you're just like, eh, whatever. Too
Yeah.
bad.
I guess
So you
you'd have
guys,
like house cleaning come before you come, kind of like
yeah, get it.
sanitize
Yeah,
everything
get it cleaned up. Of
with the
course,
blue ultraviolet light.
you say that, but if people are constantly in and out of your house, you're not going to spend that much money each time because that's going to cost you all the money that you made renting it out. So
Yeah.
at some point, you're just going to be like, eh, I'll just vacuum. You know, you wash the sheets, maybe dust buster on the bed.
Yeah.
That'll suck up all the
Yep.
vile.
You seen like bed bugs and stuff. Like there was even a study saying it's better if you don't make your bed for bed bugs, because bed bugs like moist, heated areas, and when you cover them up, I guess they thrive.
Yeah, you gotta leave your sheets down.
Yeah. Science, motherfuckers, learn it on Geek Brunch.
So do you guys ever do you ever or have you or are you now starting to think about getting a house for Baltimore?
No, we're only there like 4 days a week. What do you, I mean, four, yeah,
No,
four
not
days a
buying
year.
it. Not buying
We're gonna buy, how
You're not
rich
gonna
do you
buy a
fucking
house?
think I am,
You're not
man?
gonna Come on, Mike. This is a house.
God damn
You can rent it out.
it.
No, I mean renting a house instead of staying at a hotel.
Nah, we're very happy at the hotel that we stay at, the Hilton right there. It's awesome.
Yeah,
They have
convenient.
an awesome buffet, and their wait staff like knows us by name, and they treat us well. They know me and Barb because we're the geekiest people that are fucking in the restaurant every morning.
So other con people don't stay there?
There are con people there, and there were the whole fucking Cincinnati Bengals was at our hotel because they were playing the Ravens that weekend. They were loading into the buses as we were going to breakfast on Sunday.
Did you lick their hands on the way out?
No.
You could have got those sporty powers.
I am not the liquor.
So how do people get from the houses to
How
a show?
if you're a germaphobe, why are you writing a comic book about the liquor? Because it's your greatest fear? Are you exploring?
Yeah, he's a germaphobe.
I know he's a. Oh, he is a germaphobe. Then why the
Yeah.
fuck is he licking shit?
Because he gets powers. That's how he gets his
But
powers.
he's a germaphobe, so he's
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't
oh,
like
it's
it.
kind of. Oh, I see what you're tapping into. You're tapping into Donny Cates' buzzkill right there.
No.
Yes, you are, because Buzzkill, he would have to take drugs and drink and stuff to inhi for his powers to manifest. He didn't want to drink. He didn't want to do the drugs. But he had to.
I don't see the similarity. Anyway.
No, the similarity is in the opposite. It's the fear.
Right. Mine's a little deeper, more psychological.
And sexual.
Depends what he's licking.
This liquor likes to lick stuff that are covered. So, like, if you cover, you'll lick toes because they're usually covered in socks. But if they're in flip flops, he's like, oh, fuck that. They've been touching shit.
But if he wants, oh, that gives me a good idea.
What?
But he's being chased and he's not running fast enough, and then he sees like a runner taking a rest, so he has to go over to her and lick her feet.
Oh, he has to rip her shoes off
Yeah,
too.
rip her shoes and socks off. So licking her feet and then take off. And then she starts chasing him. Bastard.
That would be a weird thing because they both have the same speed.
Yeah, they're going the exact same speed.
So it's like she would never be able to catch him because he's already got the head start.
Right. And then she'd give up eventually.
And she has to put her shoe back on.
Yeah, so she'd be delayed.
Yeah. Man, our comics would kick ass, wouldn't they? I mean, I think we'd sell like in the hundreds.
Least probably like 150, maybe 175.
Maybe, and we'd have to like push the fuck out of them at cons. We'd have to say, buy our comic, man. We're from Geek Brunch and we have great artists, and you want to lick stuff. I know you do.
Liquor, we got the
Don't you have a fantasy about licking stuff? Well, this is the comic for you. Do you have fear of
then
mosquitoes? Well,
and
this is the character
it
you want to read, man.
instead of signing comics, I'll just lick them. Do you want me to sign that for you? Oh yeah, there you
There you go. I think we'd get in the hundreds. We'd sell 150 copies a year.
This is copyright.
We'd probably sell like 20 per
Keep
con, and that would be like if we were at our table pushing the fuck out of them. It wouldn't even pay for our meal.
wouldn't even pay for lunch.
No. We'd have to
Just,
do it just out of love of the medium.
I believe that is what 75% of the people are doing it
Yeah, an artist
for
alley,
at cons. Yeah.
probably. They want people to see their stuff, and they're probably. I'd be surprised if a lot of them are probably like, man, if I could just pay for my room, you know,
Yeah, break even.
break even, then that's like a success. Like if you pay for
That's
your
the
room and
goal
your
usually
flight,
to
especially if you fly
do.
in, flights are expensive, man. That means you have to sell right there like $300 worth of books already. Do you know what I mean? That's a huge task on a 3-day
Yeah, and
weekend.
depending upon, yeah, if you're just selling a single comic, that's gonna
Well, even if you're selling a single
be a plus.
comic, you'll probably sell less of those and then maybe more commission type stuff.
Right, that's
And
what they do
we
for me.
can't draw worth the fuck, so I saw you draw my character.
Those are some rough sketches.
That was terrible.
That was fantastic. I have those around here somewhere. I left it in the other room.
Was that character you stole from me again?
I'm not gonna tell you because then I now I own it. So can't own a character you can't remember the name.
I started creating comics with Daryl too, but they're
Uh-oh.
more in the porn comics.
Do you remember any of them?
No, yeah, we're doing some like, but it's like they're loose plots. Like it's got a plot at the beginning. There's a lot of weird fucking and shit, and then there's like cliffhangers at the end. I can't really tell you because you'll steal the idea.
I have never stolen anything. So Chris Ivey told me that he came up with one and you tried to steal it from him.
No, I would never do that.
So did you get any
I ever have the guesser and first and ah. I mean, not the guesser. What the fuck? Yeah, I do have the. What the fuck am I talking about? Yeah, it is the
have
guesser.
the
I was
No, I
gonna say the
believe
liquor. I got confused. The
it
that'd be like a
was
Brave and
guesser
Bold
in the liquor.
team up, the guesser and the liquor. One shot special.
And my other character
And
I
that
came
would be
up
a
with.
rough run because we'd have to co-write it because those are both our creative, you know. We'd be fighting over things, I know. I'd say, I really want to put the guesser doing this. And you're like, the liquor should be doing this. The
That's right.
liquor
Why
should
is
win.
no the liquor comes to the rescue and saves her? No, the guesser does.
Well,
I said the guesser
you'd
just
probably
kills
win
people.
because just the
Guesser is this
power.
killer.
No, I would agree. I would give way on your battle because
The Licker is more of a hero.
Well, no, the hero, my fucking ass. He could just mass lick.
Murderer.
Well, what he would do is try to lick the Gessler in his sleep, and then obtain his abilities. And then what the fuck can I do, right?
That's true.
Then I have to just beat you to it and say, guess what? Boom! That's the only way I could beat you is if I.
Well, that's a good ending to one of the issues where the Licker sneaks into the Gessler's mosquito net when he's sleeping.
Yeah.
And licks his hand. And then the Gessler like wakes up and looks over at him. And there's the Licker with his gun. Guess what?
Oh, you know what? But they both draw the gun at the same time.
And they both say,
guess what? And then
that's a good cliffhanger.
To be continued.
Nice.
But I'll write in an extra letter because it's going to be like, guess what? I'll have the WHA and you'll just have the WH.
No, I think I should have the A too.
Well, I'm more experienced with that phrase. I got one extra letter in.
I think the Licker had the head start, so he should have the full what. But then the Gessler only has the wah, so then you're like, oh no, he's going to kill the Gessler.
No, see, this I knew this was going to be an argument, see. I won't compromise it. I'm gonna have that guess wah, yeah. And you're going to have guess what?
Guess who?
Guess what? You'll just have a W now. I'm pissed off. I'll have a WHA.
You can put that. I'm going to send an email right now to our letterer and tell him. And...
it's whoever pays the letter or more.
I'll give you $200 to put in a full what.
That's right. You have a family, like more kids to feed and animals. I only have one doggy.
I only have one cat and children.
But you're going to get another cat, so I think I'm going to win this battle. Pay this letter. Dang. I've been saving a lot of fucking money, so.
Well, here's our first comic. It cost us $400,000.
How do we go bankrupt? Well, we're going to be in the back issue magazine, the company that never published a damn thing because they went bankrupt before. It's the only company in history.
That's right.
I'm sure that's actually happened.
Then the next story will be the world's richest letterer. Man makes $400,000, or woman makes $400,000 lettering with a single comic. How to make it in this industry.
That's right. I told Alan I wanted to be like Peter Parker, like written in a comic book, you know, the Hispanic with the Myers last name to be the new Peter Parker. And he said, I couldn't. He says, you could be Vibe. Can you believe that? And like Daryl wanted to be like Clark Kent, Superman. And he says, no, you can't do that in Valhalla Comics. You have to be Cyborg. I have to be Vibe and he has to be Cyborg. We're typecast.
Like the equivalents of?
Yeah.
That's racial.
It is. A matter of fact, Daryl had the best saying ever. He said, you know what? I'd rather be in Roots than in Valhalla Comics. Because at least in Roots, I have a chance. Now, we had a lot of interesting discussions you missed out on that I'll never see, like, airtime.
You didn't record them?
No.
But that means I could be Superman.
No, you can't. Well you Valhalla could. Comics. Yeah.
Nice.
You probably could be Superman because you're white.
I deserve it because I'm white.
you would survive in Valhalla Comics.
That's right.
Me and Daryl are in prison. For some reason, I'm written into a prison scene where Daryl's got turned himself into a boombox, and I'm breakdancing.
I'm sure immigration is going to come after you.
The Migra. Donald Trump in the comic will come after me.
Trump equivalent. Yep.
That's right.
You'll say, but I was born here. So that doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
We're cleaning up this country.
Yeah. So we had a lot of good meals. We ate a lot at the Ale House, which is right across the street. They didn't want to try other places because the food was so good. So we ate there twice.
That's like a, that's a chain, times. Right?
I don't think this one is.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
It is a pretty generic name.
Yeah, I think it's called something Ale House, but I don't know.
Like what Jimmy's Ale House or something.
Yeah.
So you guys just stick in that like little harbor area or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, because if you go, if
you get shot, if you go outside of it,
it's pretty dangerous. Like at least four, if you go four blocks away, like in the other direction, it's a little scary. I remember me and Barb did because they didn't used to have a CVS, like, you know, to get like, you know, if you had ibuprofen or something like that. So we had to like walk like four blocks there, and she was in a walking boot, and I'm like, Barb, if we have to run, we're dead.
I have to run. You're dead.
Yeah. But
so where's the house that people are renting? Is it like
I don't know? I'd have to ask.
Drive to it.
I'd have to ask Luke if I would think it was in walking distance because I don't think those guys had a.
It wouldn't make sense to rent a car and a.
Yeah, we don't rent a car, which is probably our most expensive thing, is like you have to pay a taxi driver. And it's not like Heroes. Like, I like Heroes because at least on the way, I can't remember if it's on the way to the hotel, it's a set rate. Like, it's
both
like
ways, it's a set. Yeah, there's
$30 or $40. I can't remember what it is. And then you throw in a tip. And this one, they're metered. So.
Oh, really? They don't have
yeah,
a.
Yeah, it's a little more.
That's weird, because you figure to a convention center, from an airport to a convention center, usually they
I think
have a
it
set
used
rate.
To be,
just
it
it's
used
standard.
To be the opposite of Heroes. It wasn't on the way. It used to be a fixed rate one way. Like Heroes is a fixed rate one way, but not the other way. But yeah, it was a fun
weird.
Con. Some of the
that's weird because here in Chicagoland area, it's all fixed rate, like for the airport, like to
oh,
and
yeah?
from the airport, from anywhere, like from my house to the airport, it's a set rate. So
we
from
were we
they have
were
different,
in
like,
Chicago. You should have came
regions.
And seen us.
I should have come to the airport.
Yeah, you should have checked yourself into security and just come and say hi for a while. You could lick my hands.
I could have just bought like the cheapest ticket I could find.
Yeah.
Get through, then I could have come and licked your hand and seen you off.
Yeah, so we saw Hassan. Chris mm-hmm. Campbell got to see us
he's there for
her
a day,
day
right?
Right before his baby was born. Yeah, she was born on a Monday, and he came in on Saturday.
We're kind of close there.
yeah, he got there, I think, around. Man, it was late in the day. It must have been like 2. He got there at 2, and he stayed with us until about 8 or 9 after dinner. Because we had a long dinner. We ate at this Irish pub. It's one of the pubs we always eat with. It was a pretty big group. It was like 12 people. You know, M. Batts was there and his friend.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to see him on Saturday night. He was only there one day.
Alan
was there all the time. Steve Andreski from Marvel Noise, who I met, I think, a couple of Campbell Cons ago.
Okay.
And
I
saw him
think
there
I've met
last
him.
Year. Yeah. We always have good discussions. He ate with us two of the days, once at the Ale House and once at the Irish pub. We
so
always
was,
ate with
Chris
Alan.
Ivey, what did Chris Ivey eat at the Irish pub? Because here's what I saw. Like, whenever I saw pictures.
You know what? I do not know what he ate at the Irish pub because it was the one meal that we ate at where we were far apart. Like, he was right next to Tom King. And who else was he next to?
I think Chris, maybe.
Chris Campbell. And there was somebody else on the left of him. And then I was near Luke Foster.
Other end.
Yeah, and M. Batts and his friend and Daryl was right next to me. And
Because here's what the pictures show. Everyone is sitting there in front of a plate of food, laughing and drinking. And then Chris Ivey's sitting there with a frown on his face, no plate of food, and just a beer.
that's because he saw the good food we were eating, and he knew he couldn't have
And he
it.
couldn't eat anything.
Yeah,
There's nothing for him.
that's right. Actually, there's a lot of fish places everywhere you go, so you would like it. I think you'd like it more for food.
Yeah,
Alternative,
because
you know, is like everywhere you go, there's
there's
fresh
fish
fish and
stuff.
shit. Yeah.
That'd be good. One day I'll try and go out there. So how was the
Yeah, it's
con
fun, and the
itself?
harbor is beautiful. The con
I know
was a lot of
the
fun.
pictures of it look awesome, like a night with all the lights and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, so
Nice.
there was Hassan, Luke Foster, except he was working the whole time. He works hard.
He does. Who works it?
Yeah, and he's really cool because he's one of those guys that is always optimist, you know, has optimism, which is a good thing to have in that kind of industry. Whereas some other people, I'm not gonna name names, they're like the ultimate pessimist.
Pessimist like
Yeah.
Daryl.
No, I mean that actually have tables.
Oh, that have tables.
Yeah. I struggled on the first day to even find Peep Boy. Like I had to track that guy down. He was never at his table.
Oh,
I
really?
had to I ran up to him. I stalked him like there was no creators, you know, like I stalk creators, but I could usually find them at their own tables. Well, Peep Boy, I had to actually find at somebody else's table.
Drag him back to his table.
Yeah, he was at Garcia Lopez's table. Because Garcia Lopez was in the aisle that was on the other side of Tom King, which we were, you know, that was like home base. That Tom King's table is always like home base. It's like tag up. And then there was Alan and M. Batts and his friend and Chris Campbell and Daryl and Steve, and we saw Billy Z, Bill Zanowich, and his friends from the Comic Book Bears podcast. Chris Ivey, of course, Tom King. And that, you know, that was like the group pretty much that we would always
Right.
meet for, you know,
Hang out with.
yeah, hang out with. But it was a fun con. Like it was a good time. And but the highlights, I guess, for me was like I had no goals. I had two goals. That was it. And if I got them, I was gonna be happy. If I didn't, I was gonna be okay. And I actually it was like the best time I ever had because I never was worried that I wasn't gonna get my sketch. Do you know what I mean? A lot of times I buy like six commissions, and I get really worried when I buy the commission on Friday and they don't have it at like 2 o'clock on Sunday. And
Right, and
then
you're
sometimes they
checking
don't even
for it.
have it. Yeah. And then so, well, I'll mail it to you. And it causes a little bit of anxiety because you have to pay up front. But I knew if I got on, I love
Well, and
Shannon.
even if you have like a plan that you want to get sketches from these different people, then you're going into the show and that's like your main focus and that's what you're worried about. Will I get on these lists? I have to run around and make sure I get on the right person's list at the right time and things.
Yeah.
Which is good if that give you, I mean, you get a high from that. But
Yeah,
if you just
if
want
you
to,
like it and you don't get anxiety, but I just like to relax. I
if you just want
my
to
my
enjoy
my my
yourself.
main goal now at cons is just to hang out with my friends, 'cause I only get to do that like once or twice a year if I'm lucky, you know.
Right, whereas
But
you can go
depending on
to a
who
con,
goes, where I could go
you
to a
can go to
con at
con
any
anytime.
time, yeah. So like that's my number one. The second one is to maybe get one or two commissions. And I did do that. I got three. One of them was already pre-drawn. Ramona Fraden always pre-draws her stuff, and I always try to buy a sketch from her. I have four. I have like a Metamorpho, I have a Plastic Man, and now I have a Wonder Woman, and I think there was one other that I have. But I really enjoy her art, and I enjoy that she's still doing this. I think she's turning 80, or is it 90? I can't remember. But I was glad to do that, and I went on the right day for that because she had a lot of options to choose from. Whereas if you went on Sunday,
For stay.
it was ransacked. She had nothing left. She had some like beautiful like $400 pieces with like a ton of characters. They were awesome. But
That's good that people still
she
know
doesn't
her
take
and
like yeah, she doesn't take like PayPal, I mean a credit card, you know, so
yeah,
you have to have
that's
cash.
cool.
And usually the money machine will limit you to $200 a day. So you, if like a lot in today's world, a lot of people, even like smaller creators, they'll have the Foursquare or the whatever, I don't know what they call it, where
Right.
they could use their phone to put your credit
Yeah,
card in.
the scanner thing.
But there are still a lot of them that don't, so you have to be prepared. But anyway, I tracked down Peepoy on Friday, and he says, I was worried because the lady that was at his table said, I'll put you on the list, but I don't think he's going to take any more. And he had two commissions ahead of me. He was only going to do like four or three. And I was like, I didn't make the list, so I'm not going to get it. But I felt okay. But I ran into him, and he says, no, I got you covered, Mike. He knows me, so.
So is he only doing like a couple a day or something?
Well, he uses the con like some of the other creators do a couple things when they're at cons. One of the things they do is try to sell their wares, right? The other thing they do is try to get new work. They're actually talking to other creators. They're talking to other publishers. Peepoy tries to get more work at every con. So like Friday is his day to go talk to other creators, get work, and then talk to the creators he loves. That's why like he was at Garcia Lopez's table, you know? And
Right, because it's an opportunity to meet some of your even people in the industry still geek out over some of the creators that they have always loved.
Well, Shannon Gallant too. It's weird because the two guys that I love Garcia Lopez, but who
Yeah.
doesn't love Garcia Lopez? And this was actually the first time, even though I've seen it Garcia Lopez maybe at three cons before. This was the first time that I actually went up to him and took a picture with him and shaked his hand and bought something, and got it signed. So I will say that he's like the awesome guy, because with creators you don't know like, well, could I shake your hand, or you know what I mean? Like they
Right.
usually you could shake their hand, but he signed my piece, and then I said, could I take my picture with you? And luckily Barb was there, so I didn't have to try to do a selfie. But he said sure, and he gave me a huge hug. So I was like, yeah, this guy's awesome, man. I really like him, and I love his work. Like I never see Garcia Lopez, and I bought one of my favorite pieces, which is just a print. And I don't usually buy prints, but
Right.
I bought a print this time, and it was the Wonder Woman versus Superman from the Treasury edition, which I absolutely love. So I got that. I got a Peepoy sketch of a Black Hawk character called Domino, not the Marvel Domino, but a villainess from the Black Hawk series, which I'm on a fix of right now. You know how I go on my tangents of
Yeah,
things?
it's your latest
Right now.
kick.
Yeah, it's one of my latest kicks. And
Cooks.
Peepoy did an awesome job. And then I got a Ramona Freyden Wonder Woman head sketch. And then I got Shannon Gallant did the looker for me, which is awesome. He's my favorite commission artist right now because I am always happy, and it's cool because he gets to draw stuff that's not G.I. Joe. Usually, I'd say 80%, if not more, is his commissions are G.I.
Right, he
Joe.
does studio stuff.
But he's I have three commissions from him now. I have Rai from Valiant, I have Katana from The Outsiders, and now I have the Looker from Outsiders. And it was a really cool piece. So I was happy with all my pieces. And then I had the Garcia Lopez print. So that's kind of like what I got, commission and art wise. And then I bought this one book, which was like this guy did, he does like mock covers. And me and Ivy talked to him for at least an hour, it seemed like. It was almost an hour. And I love it because he does like mock covers of like leave it to Binky and like old Silver Age DC comics, and then I'll put like other characters in it, like the Legion of Superheroes and stuff. And he like mocks up like Kevin Maguire's like cover of Justice League, and he'll put like Legion of Superheroes or something else in it. So like, and then he'll take like all of those DC like weird obscure titles like Dobie Gillis and Binky and put Star Trek on it. And it was like a cool feel, and realized that he had painted a lot of books that me and Ivy read, like Hawkman. Like he did some of the Geoff Johns covers. And let me see if I can
Is
find
a
his name.
cover artist.
Yeah, well he had a book there, which was interesting, and plus it was interesting to talk to him, and we got like a little book of his covers that he had done. And that was a lot of fun. And then we just talked to a lot of friends and creators and all that stuff that you usually do. But I didn't buy it like a hell of a lot of stuff. Like I didn't buy any indie stuff from as far as comics this
Marzelli.
time. I had
Did you
those
get any
Orphans.
old stuff?
I bought back issues. Yeah, I bought a lot of Batman, a lot of Detective, and then a bunch of little obscure stuff from DC, of course.
Oh, just filling in holes.
Yeah. I think I bought 35 comics, maybe 40. But I bought some old Blackhawk. So yeah, I bought a lot of cool stuff, and I just did that on Sunday. Like I did that like towards the tail end of the day when we were almost getting ready to say goodbye and leave, you know. 'Cause most of the people fly back out on Sunday or drive or you know. Chris
Right,
Ivy
leave her.
stayed for Sunday night to leave on Monday, and we had a dinner again.
That's nice.
Oh, what's a couple panels? We went to Batman's Batman Day. DC had a panel. They had Tom King, Palmiotti, Greg Pak, James Tynion, and man, there's somebody I'm forgetting. God damn it. I don't remember who the other one was. I should remember it. I'll try to think of it before the end of the podcast. But that was a fun panel. Any panel with Palmiotti is always fun. Oh, I did get a couple of exclusives too. The Baltimore Comic Con had a Valiant exclusive of Ninjak. I got that. And then I got a Harlequin and Batman exclusive. And one of them I had personalized by Palmiotti. So that was a lot of fun.
How big is Baltimore compared to like Heroes?
Same size, I
Are
think.
they comparable?
They almost look like the same cons. Like is
Oh, the con floor looks.
there's not a difference really.
How is the attendance? It looked in the pictures like there that I seen that
It
it
looked
didn't look like a lot of people there,
a
but it
lot.
could just be the pictures.
Saturday was like a mosh pit, like most
Okay.
cons are. And then
Yeah.
Friday was not too busy, and Sunday wasn't too busy. Sunday was busy in the morning, and then it got quiet.
It clears out later. That's pretty
Yeah.
standard.
Scott Snyder had his usual huge line. Oh, that's the other person that was at the Batman panel, Scott Snyder.
Oh, Scott Snyder.
Yeah.
I would have said his name, but I thought you already
I like to
said it.
hear him.
So, did you say Tom King was on that panel
Yeah,
too?
he was. Yeah.
Well, he must have been in like heaven there.
Well, he was next to Palmiotti, so yeah, I would. I think he's probably
Up
getting
there with
used
all
to it, though.
those.
He's writing a lot of comics now.
Yeah, well, he definitely
He's
is.
got his
He's
Omega
got
Men
like.
extended. He's got the Vision from Marvel. He's got that Babylon or the
Yeah,
Vision
the Vertigo one.
Vertigo. He's got War
I
of
don't
Robins coming up, and he always had a line and very patient fans. Good Lord, like he wasn't at his table a lot, so. You
I
know,
know he's gonna have to start changing his
we'd be at his table, and like he'd have like these cosplayers like We Are Robin come out. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen that comic book, but it's like a gang of Robins.
right.
They were like awesome, and they didn't get to see him. But and there was one guy that waited like for 20 minutes, And I was like, man, I'm not even that patient. Like, if they're not there, I'll come back later in a couple hours and drag it.
I walked past them.
Well, I did stalk Peepoy, but I had the help of people. I was like, if you see him, text me. But there's some creators that I consider friends, like, you know, that I'm gonna look out for. Like, I always like talking to Shannon Gallant because he always likes retro stuff that I like old $6 Million Man or Planet of the Apes and stuff like that. So we'll sit and chat about that stuff. And he got his picture, like, oh yeah, I got to see the Star Joes, you know, John Thurman and Ryan Drost and a couple of other guys that I've met through Star Joes, Eric Grubb and John Thurman's son, who I always see at cons. Like, he has one son that's really not into comics and one son that's really into it, and he always takes the son. Like, he's taller than me now. I remember seeing him as a where he going to cons many years ago when he was smaller than me.
He surpassed you.
Yeah, so we got to see all the Star Joe's guys. They were always at Shannon's, you know, you could always easily find them at Shannon's. Saw a lot of cosplayers as
And
usual.
Shannon is their Tom King.
Yeah, exactly.
That's their home base.
Shannon's like almost a regular on the show too, of Star Joe's podcast. So you could say he's a member along with, you know, Robert Atkins. We saw Robert Atkins' sister, but Robert wasn't there.
Okay.
So yeah, it was a fun con. It was a lot of fun.
Cool. One day I'll have to venture out there.
They don't have like a art auction like that's big, like in a whole room like Heroes Con does, but they have an art auction and it's like right outside the doors and you can start bidding on those pieces. But it's more like a standing one where they show a piece and it's not like as big of a draw. And they do have the Harvey Awards and they have a bigger, I would say they have a bigger like a cosplayer thing, like a costume thing and stuff than Heroes does.
Oh, it's bigger. Yeah. Bigger deal there. I saw a lot of pictures of the cosplayers there. I think Heroes does, but.
I don't think they have the contest presence that a Baltimore does. Like they actually win a lot of prizes and there's some costumes that are just really detailed. I mean, like you're like, holy shit, there's a transformer that can actually transform and has real wheels on him. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Wow. When you get to that point, though, it's, I don't know. It's weird because it's more of like a costume, like a, I don't know. I guess they're all costumes, but.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the super elaborate ones where they're like 10 feet tall and stuff. It's, dang.
Yeah, Palmiotti and Amanda Conner always had a huge line, and that's the comic I got personalized.
Yeah, I would imagine they have a constant draw. Think I've seen them at some shows before.
Yeah,
On.
I've seen them in Albuquerque cons. I've seen them at Denver. I've seen them at Baltimore, and I saw them at Heroes. So I've seen them almost at every con that I've been to. There was some actors there. Oh, I also got to run into Shane from Comic Geek Speak. That was pretty cool because he actually texted me, well, Facebooked me like a direct IM and said, "Hey, I saw your Ramona Freyden, and I really want, you know, how does that work? Does she actually do commissions, or are they pre-" You know, he asked me a lot of details and the cost and stuff. And he came down on Sunday and then called me, said I like to meet. Ever since I met him and Jamie that one time, he always like talks to me at cons, and We met up for like 5, 10 minutes with him and his son, and his son was all stoked because he got there were some actors there. You know, Edward James Olmos was there, somebody else was there, and the girl from Arrow, that's Black Canary. And he had gotten his son and him got their pictures with the Black Canary lady.
That's something the Heroes doesn't have.
They've had like Lou Ferrigno, haven't they?
Not that I remember. I'm trying to.
Oh, they had Peter Mayhew 1 year. Pretty sure they did.
So they may have a couple.
Or maybe
They don't have like a separate area, though.
I always get the
You mix them
continent
up.
confused.
Yeah.
So I might be
I
thinking
think
multiple.
Heroes intentionally doesn't have celebrities because they want to keep it purely comics.
Well, so did Baltimore. This is like the first time they even had like a celebrity curtain and like a celebrity area. Like they've never had that before.
And why did they do that? Just because they wanted to bring more people, like draw more people in?
Well,
Was attendance low in the past?
you do draw other types of fans. You
Yeah,
know?
for sure.
I don't know. It'd
Yeah,
be
because there's a lot.
interesting to have those numbers, like to know like con attendance for Baltimore
Yeah.
Heroes from year to year and see like is it stable? Is it dropping? Or 'cause it's got to be expensive to like rent that much space. That's a fucking lot of space. But I guess you're making a lot of the money back by people buying tables. Like you factor that into the cost, right?
Right, that yeah, that's another way they make money from the tables.
Mike Grell was there. That was
And
cool.
food, they make money off food.
Starlin. There was a lot of big names. Love Mike Grell.
It's weird though with the big celebrities, like non-comic book celebrities. When you have them, you're going to draw people who aren't into comics and are just coming there specifically to meet the celebrities, which is good for the con because they get the attendance money, but it does nothing for the comic book people because those people aren't going to spend any money, aren't even going to look at your comics. So it's weird. Like you could go to a con that has like huge attendance, but
But there's a lot of other
no one
stuff
there cares about
that show
comics.
up at cons, like t-shirts and like
Yeah, true. They
like
would, yeah, the
what would you say,
toys and
like
stuff.
models and like knitting stuff, you know, like knitting and there's a lot of other stuff and toys and so it's got like a lot of appeal.
That's true. So I guess Artist Alley is the only one that's they're not going to go see because they'll go to the dealers because yeah, check out all the
No,
non-comic stuff.
they'll go to Artist Alley too because I think a lot of them like to get prints and stuff. Like if they might be a fan of Firefly or something like that, and they see like prints that some artist has done, they might pick those up.
Possibly. I doubt it.
I see people like that at Denver Comic Con because of all the cons I go to, the one that's multimedia is definitely Denver Comic Con. Huge
Yeah.
actor presence there. But they also have a huge artist alley too, which is comparable to the other two cons. I think a lot of it mixes, like fans of this or fans of that.
Yeah, but I know, I mean, I personally know some people who go to these shows, and I know they're not buying any comics when they go to the show.
Yeah.
I guess maybe they buy print, but I doubt it. I think they just go get their signatures, maybe get a couple toys or a shirt or something.
Their photos.
Yeah, most of their money. I mean, they're dropping $1,000 on celebrity photos and autographs. So they don't have any money left for anything else. They're getting their photos with wrestlers and stuff, and the Arrow.
Right.
I don't know. It's so weird, like having I mean, I've been going to conventions since like, early 90s. So it's weird to me that the concept of people going to a comic book convention just to meet celebrities and not to go to a,
Well, it's weird when, to me, it's weird,
I
like,
look at
for
comics.
like a Wizard World one, where the comic presence is kind of faded.
Right.
And it's more of that other thing, then why call it a Comic
A
Con?
Comic Con,
Why
yeah.
call it
I
like a
know.
pop culture con or something like that? Why is it a Comic Con?
Yeah, where you have like people who are going to the Comic Con, but to them, the Comic Con is just a place to meet the celebrities. It has nothing to do with comics.
Yeah.
It's like, no, wait, what's going on? They're stealing our term. They should come up with their own term.
All right, well, we read some books.
We did read some books.
Yeah. What do you want to talk
I have to
about
find one.
first? I'll tell you that one book made a 5 out of 5.
Oh, let's start with that one then.
Well, did
Don't know if I
any
can
of
guess.
yours get a 5 out of 5? Out of the ones we read?
Not out of the ones we read, but I did give a 5 out of 5 to one that I know you read.
What
That
does that
wasn't on the
mean?
list. I didn't put it on the list because I know I saw you already post about it,
Okay, let's talk about that one because
but I
I'm
already read it
curious.
too. Okay, that one is. Let me get the correct title. Dark Matter in Space Ship. Oh, here it is.
Oh, you read the rest of it?
No, I'm just kidding. It's a number one.
Oh,
The
I'm not
Infinite
sure.
Adventures of Jonas Quantum.
Oh, yeah, that was really good.
This one's by Mark Guggenheim and Freddie Williams,
That one I
the
didn't give a
two.
5 out of 5, but I gave it a 4 out of 5, but I love it. I loved it. And I guess I really liked it because that's what the 4 out of 5 is, but
Yeah. But it didn't get pushed over the limit.
no.
I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
It reminded me a lot of like Tom Strong and books like that, and it was
Yeah.
really well done. The art was amazing. The mystery of it
He's after him, yeah.
was very good. I like really enjoyed it. I liked everything about it. There wasn't anything I like can complain about. I guess it just didn't hit me as hard as it hit
Right,
you.
didn't put you over the edge.
But I love those creators, Guggenheim and Freddie Williams. Like, if you go to a con, Freddie Williams is the shit because he, I mean, in a good way, because he will spend a lot of time with you talking about like the process. Like, I learned a lot about like inking and penciling and
Oh, really?
all these different styles just from talking to him. And he's got like an eye for stuff, so like he'll show you the difference between this and that, you know? Like, and it you
Know how to
really
explain,
well
like,
you it's almost like you get a class. Like if you were to go to like a beginning art detection class or like variations in the art form and the comic art form, it you like learn a lot. So like if you ever see Freddie Williams there and just say hi to him and ask him a question about the process. He loves it. You could tell he does because he'll go off and talk to you about it, right? So he's and the weird thing about Freddie Williams though is he plays with a lot of different styles, man. This style is a lot different than what he did with the Captain Atom stuff. Like a lot different, and the JSA All-Stars, and it's a lot different from the one I just read. What did he do? It's not Green Team. It's the other one with Gail Simone. God damn it. Can't remember what that title was, but it was awesome. That title was fucking awesome. That was the last one I read, I think, of him before this one. But this one, I don't get a lot of legendary, but I did get it because of that creative team. I like those two.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, it is a legendary book. Yeah, so this is about His style in this one is almost like a Frank Quitely style, a little bit. That's what it reminded me
I
of.
did see some of that in some of the faces and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't
mostly the
have the
main
book in front of
character.
me, but yeah.
Yeah, like the main character could have been fits that mold kind of. So this is about a really smart guy, like a super smart genius, like beyond genius, who keeps inventing stuff and like winning all the awards and Nobel Prizes and stuff. And then he comes up with a cure for death.
And then so
And
his yeah, so warns him
he
about
locks
it.
it away. Yeah, he locks it away in his vault because they don't want it to get out, because then they're worried that if no one dies, then there'll be overpopulation and everything. He's like, don't worry, it's in the vault that no one can get. And the vault, was it like in another dimension or something?
Yeah, it's like one of those weird things. And somebody
It sounds
breaks
like a
in.
vault. Yeah, like in another, he says no one can get into it because it's like in a negative dimension or something, and in a folded dimension or something. Yeah, and then it turns out someone actually does steal it, and then they appear to be after him. So now he's going to try and have to figure out what's going on and how to catch or how to stop these interdimensional ninjas. And then he goes to like that Escher dimension or something,
Yeah,
or
with
the
all the
pocket
stairs
universe.
and shit, that's weird.
Yeah. It's good though. I liked it.
I thought it was pretty damn good. I was really happy with it. I read that like during Con Week. That wasn't this week. It was during Con Week. I enjoyed it.
So what was your 5 out of 5?
My 5 out of 5 went to Paybacks.
Ah,
And
Paybacks. The Donny Cates.
I can't tell you how much I enjoy Donny Cates' books. I fucking love them. Ghost Fleet and Buzzkill and now this. And now that he solicited something else and I think it's Legendary. Or no, it's in Heavy Metal this month.
Yeah, I saw that he has a new book.
I even tweeted him and he was like, yeah, I said, man, your stuff just really works for me. I love it. When I read his stuff, it's like so different. Like it's so different. And this was like a humorous type book, but
Yeah, this is a comedy.
it was done in such a way that it had a serious aspect to it. And this is guys that they're repo heroes that go repo stuff and they go after the Night Knight, which is kind of
Well,
like
they
Night
repo
Knight.
stuff from superheroes who have defaulted on their
Yeah, on their
loans.
loans. And this one guy is like a British
He's
Batman.
Batman.
But he has
Yeah,
like
Batman spent a bunch
a
of
horse
money
with
and
him,
couldn't pay
Nightmare.
back his loans.
Yeah,
Yeah, he's a
and
unicorn.
the dialogue is awesome because he has that inner monologue and it's like, I'm Batman, I'm the Knight, I'm gonna kick your ass. I fucking like loved it. And he's like there I love the fact that he's going to fight like something who like the Mirror Master, but this Mirror Master is kind of like a I don't know Batman's 66 type villain. Like he gets there and he's ready to kick his ass, and he gets a phone call and he's like, wait, hold a minute, and it's like his Alfred, and he's like, dude, they're repoing your stuff in the cave. You got to get here immediately. And he's like, I gotta leave. And the Mirror Master guy is like, what the fuck? I got the Queen
The
of
queen.
England here. And he goes, that's not the Queen of England. That's an old dude dressed like the Queen of England. And he
Yeah,
just leaves. I was
that's
like,
a dude in a wig.
yeah, it's like, fuck yeah, this was so awesome. And all the characters were interesting. And the van, the fact that the
Yeah, the van
van is
is
really
their
not a van.
it's their secret headquarters. That was good. And I love the Doctor Strange guy.
Yeah, that was awesome. So it man, I can't like the art even clicked with me. Like it was like very buzzkillish.
Well, isn't that, I think it's the same guy, right?
I don't think it is.
It's Jeff Shaw, and I thought he did a
Oh yeah,
Buzzkill.
it is Jeff Shaw. Never mind. It is the
Yeah,
same
so the two of
Buzzkill
them together
artist.
again.
There's even a
Yeah.
Buzzkill link in it. Like if you read the opening page, you'll see the character that is from Buzzkill. It's
Yeah,
got
they,
like character
yeah, I saw
profiles
that.
of all of them, which is awesome because it gives you
Oh,
like
yeah.
an
Yeah, Dr.
introduction to all
Black.
of them.
It's the Dr. Strange guy.
And then
Dr. Black.
oh, I love the character. I love this guy. The guy that's Russian that doesn't even speak English, but he could just that other guy plays with his mind and says, "You need to say some English terms and cool." And it gets him to say like everything wrong, like the Terminator scene and everything. And
Oh,
then he
yeah,
does
he's trying
another
to get him
quote
to
from another movie
the.
later on. That was awesome. And then they have like a Sasquatch guy, and they have a driver that doesn't even have a name. He's just named Driver.
Yeah, Driver's awesome. But he's like the main character in
Yeah,
this issue.
he's the one that they focused on a lot. I'm gonna lose my voice soon because of my cold, but
Take a lozenge.
yeah, I just did.
Drink some water.
I gotta do that. I've been drinking a soda, which is probably bad.
Yeah, I gave this one a 4 out of. This is the same thing, like, for Jonas Quantum for you. It's like I gave this a 4 out of 5. I really, really liked it, but it just wasn't. It wasn't quite 5 out of 5. But it was awesome. I totally enjoyed it, and I probably even like. I should probably read it again because I think this is one that I would pick up a lot, like in the reread.
Oh, I read it when my mind was fresh, and I read it this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, so I was like wide awake and
Fresh.
I was fresh. But yeah, it was my favorite of the books that you chose this week. I don't know what yours was.
Who was my favorite? I don't know. This is up there. I don't know if I had a specific favorite.
I read one that I'm not sure you even bought, but I really
Okay.
liked it, and I read it twice.
Ooh.
'Cause the first time I read it, I was kind of sleepy, and
Yeah.
I was like, I got some main plot points, but I didn't get all the details, so I want to reread it when
Right.
my mind is
I want to
fresh.
give it
And I got
justice.
a hell of a lot more out of it, but it was a Tokyo Ghost.
Oh, Tokyo. I read that.
I like that. The art is so beautiful. Sean Murphy, I love his
Yeah,
art.
Sean
Like,
Murphy art was awesome.
oh my God. And I love how these guys are like mercenary bounty hunters, right? They're trying to bring in this guy, this weird guy that's evil and shit. But the thing that I loved it about it is the main female character and the main male character. I loved the way it closed, like the relationship that they had.
Oh, that,
Like he was
yeah.
so he had become so much machine that he like lost his humanity. Like she even like had to take
He's
off her
lost in the
clothes and
machine.
say, "Remember who you are. Let's fuck." Remember who you are, and he couldn't remember. Like he would just sit there in tears, like he couldn't move. Like it was weird, but I
Yeah.
actually like loved it.
Well, the whole comic is kind of a commentary on our reality for us and how we're becoming more and more digital and how more and more of our lives are focused inward on the compute into the computer and into the internet, and all of our a lot of our social interactions and our entertainment is all now coming from the internet, and how we're kind of losing grasp with the outer world. So this is kind of an extension of that, is what if society completely went that way and we kind of lost. Well, there was a.
Well, even the villain was like that. Do you remember? Like he had the
Yeah, he
contraption
was.
on his arm and everything.
Yeah, so everyone is like. Yeah, so at this point, everyone's not only just like watching stuff online, but they're actually like physically tapped into the net.
Yeah.
So they have like neural implants and stuff. Because she. Well, everyone except for the protagonist, right? The girl doesn't. That's what's different about her, is she's refused all technology. So everyone else is all tied in to the web, and she's separate from it. And her boyfriend is completely lost in
He's lost in,
technology now.
yeah. He
So I think he was like,
almost looks like he's part of that transportation a little bit. Like he could merge with it,
yeah,
a
I think he
motorcycle.
does. Because I think, well, at one point, I think they even said that he was like a skinny kid, right?
Yeah.
And now he's like this huge dude. So I think what happened was he was probably like a skinny, like computer nerd guy, and he just started tapping, like getting all the enhancements he could, and to the point now where he's like mostly, he's practically a robot.
Yeah. But the other thing is, like, we did this last job, she tells him. We did this last job. We were free. We could do anything. And he was just lost. He was lost to the technology. He was
Right,
gone.
she wants them to be, they can go now and do whatever they want and be free of everything, but he's locked in. It was good. It was dense, though.
It was dense, but I didn't mind it. I did mind it
Yeah, I can
the
see.
first I minded it the first time when I read it, like, it right before bed, which was a bad idea. But
Yeah, I can see why you'd
I
have
knew
to
it was a
read
bad
it
idea. Do you know what
again.
I mean? I knew it was a bad
Once
idea, and I was
you
like,
started,
this
yeah.
is Rick Remender, independent stuff, and why did I not enjoy it as much? I said, that's weird. And I said, well, I'm gonna blame it on myself for being so damn tired. Which I usually read, like, lighthearted stuff like Zombie Tramp and Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck before bed, but this was too much to read before bed. And then I reread it and I was like, you know what? I really liked it.
Yeah, and it takes a while to figure out like who the characters are, because they throw some names around at the beginning and you don't know who anyone is.
Right.
Even at the beginning, you can't even tell that the boyfriend's even a person, because he's basically the vehicle. So
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You, like,
it
could
takes
murder
a,
the vehicle.
and they're talking about the bad guy, and it's hard to figure out like which guy's the bad guy. And so I think this would definitely benefit with a second read. Because it does take a while to get your senses together and figure out what's what, which way's up.
Yeah. So yeah, I know we didn't talk about covering that one, but I had read it, and it went from a 3 out of 5 to a 4 out of 5 when I read it when I was conscious. Was your
Yeah.
favorite? You never said.
I didn't have a favorite.
Of
Another
these.
one I like was Broken Moon.
Oh yeah, I like that one.
I especially love the art in it. Nat Jones' art looked awesome. I love the way he draws werewolves. They were awesome.
Yeah.
He does a badass werewolf.
It goes with, like, a Steve Niles, what he shoots for in his art too.
Yeah,
He
it's
shoots for,
a
like, a dark style, like, 'cause his books are in the horror genre.
Yeah,
So he
that's
always
Nat
gets, like,
Jones.
Temple Smith, like Nat Jones, even what he did with Dis Disciples. It's the sty which is sci-fi
Darker.
horror. Yeah.
So Blind Moon or Blind Moon. Ooh, Blind Moon. That's a good idea. I'm gonna write
That's a good
that
idea. Write that down. I don't think anybody's taken that. It's a guy that's blind and he likes to moon people. And
But he
that would
doesn't
be.
know who he. It's a guy who likes to moon people, but he doesn't like to know who he's mooning, so he just does it
Right.
blind.
He just hears stuff. Like, he's got enhanced senses like Daredevil. He knows that people are there. He knows when they're lying and he knows when he can moon them. Blind moon. And then,
Moon.
you know what's weird though is when he moons, the licker goes to lick his asshole to get his powers.
Licks his asshole and says,
I
"I can't see. I can't
can't
see."
see, god damn it! And I have this
Somehow
sudden urge to pull my pants down.
I just dropped the pants. Oh,
Blind
it's gold.
moon.
That is going to be a great crossover.
It's refreshing knowing that nobody will steal our ideas.
Because we'll sue them. Well, we do have a our team of lawyers is impressive and scary. I'm even afraid of them.
Chris Campbell?
Yeah, it's Chris Campbell.
He will sue the fuck out of you. And then
He
with all the
knows
money he
all
makes, he'll buy some
law stuff.
Batman books.
That's right. He'll do whatever he wants because he needs that money to feed his addiction. So Broken Moon is from Monster Comics. No, wait. Famous Monster. American Gothic Press. A division of Famous Monsters. Written by Steve Niles with art by Ned Jones. So the concept of this one's kind of cool. Takes place in the near future where we've begun to use the moon to populate the moon because we're, I can't remember the reason, but like we're running out of space on Earth or whatever. Oh yeah. We reach the end of Earth's resources and decide to go up to the moon. So all these different countries have like their regions on the moon. And then at some point, one of the countries got mad at one of the other countries and they started fighting and someone shot off a bomb, probably a nuke or something, and blew up part of the moon, which of course screwed up everything on Earth. So what happened was most of the population of Earth ended up dying, and the only ones that really survived were the creatures. So at this point, vampires and werewolves. So now the vampires and werewolves kind of rule the Earth, and humans are on the run from them because the humans are basically their food. So humans are almost like animals now, running from the vampires and the werewolves.
Yeah, it's like post-apocalyptic stuff led to a different world. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They blew the shit out of the moon.
Yeah, they broke the moon. They bastards. Did.
And the vampires don't give a shit about like pollution or anything. They just want to breed humans so they can survive.
Yeah, and the vampires and the werewolves don't like each other, and they kind of stay away from each other.
That's a trope that's used a lot, you know, yeah, like in Underworld and the movies. But it's a good one. You know, it's an interesting one. I always root for the werewolves. Even this goes back to like the Bela Lugosi days when it was like there was the Frankenstein versus Dracula. And werewolf is in it. Like he sticks werewolf at him and he like throws him out the window and they both go to the and hit the water. I've always rooted for the werewolf. I don't know why it is. I don't know if I consider vampires more evil or what it is, but...
Yeah, maybe werewolves are more human because they're...
They could turn into human.
Yeah. So that might be...
Well, even in this one, it made it a point. It's like, why are you morphing total werewolf? You know, the one guy is kind of... He looks like a werewolf, but he's more human-based. He looks more like a Lon Chaney werewolf. And then this other werewolf, yeah, like, morphed into, like, a higher level wolf. Yeah.
And then, he says, like, I saw, like, a vampire. Like, I was on the run from a vampire. And he's like, vampires don't come up here. Like, they're not allowed up here. And then they're like, oh, I don't. Then they look up in the sky and there's all these vampires. Are the vampires.
They look like they're in like a plane, like technology to shoot themselves, like bat that shaped of bats. They're like bat planes.
Yeah, it's like a plane. Yeah, like bat. They're flying in these individual bat planes.
Like there's that cool scene. This is a scene I liked in the artwork. And I like it because I like Batman, right? But they have the fucking moon that's like, doesn't even look like a sphere anymore. And then they have all these like bat planes flying near the moon. So it's like the bat signal.
Yeah. Oh, on the moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other part of the story is there's this woman. I can't remember her story.
She's interesting. She's the guy on the motorcycle rescues her at the beginning.
Yeah, she's on the. Oh, she was just trying to escape from the vampires at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, some guy picks her up on a motorcycle and they're trying to get away and then they get attacked by zombies. And my only complaint about this book is it ended kind of in a weird point. Like, it all of a sudden just, like, ended.
No, they're surrounded. It's like a cliffhanger.
Yeah, I guess it's a cliffhanger.
The woman and the guy on the motorcycle are surrounded. It looks like they might have killed those other people. The older man, it looks like they're gonna die. 'Cause all the bat planes come veering on them, and they start shooting stuff out of the sky and stuff. And then the vampires
Right.
are there. The one guy kills himself. It looks like they're overcome, except for the girl
Yeah,
and the
they're
guy on the
overcome by
motorcycle.
vampires.
Yeah, and they
Right,
have
they
to
take
take
off on the
off.
motorcycle.
And then they're surrounded, and they're like, "Fuck!" But they're surrounded by the werewolves, aren't they?
Yeah, they drive, so they drive away and end up in the werewolf territory, so it's building up nicely. It'll be interesting to see where he goes with this.
Yeah, he has a very similar style, though. Like, all his books are not very dense. They're very quick reads.
Steve
Even
Niles?
Disciples
Yeah.
is very, like, I finished Disciples, by the way. Yeah, I enjoyed that one. That was like the guys that are going to a moon on Jupiter or something like
Right,
that.
they were going on
To
a they were
retrieve the
hired to go out
daughter,
there.
yeah, to retrieve the daughter who joined a religious cult.
Oh, the cult, that's right.
And all hell breaks loose and on that planet when they arrive. I won't spoil it in case you're gonna read it, but who knows when you're gonna read it. God damn it.
I'll read it when the trade comes out.
If it comes out.
If it comes out. Yeah, there's definitely a difference between reading like a book, this book, and reading Tokyo Ghost in terms
Yeah.
of the density. But I enjoyed it. It was good. I've liked the American Gothic Press book so far.
Yeah, same here.
I think I've liked them all.
I think I liked Gun Suits the least, but I only read number one of that. Or maybe I read one and two.
You read
Still,
Ronin too,
I
I
still
think.
got a. I still gotta finish Born Home, but
Yeah, I like number ones of Born Home and Gun Suits.
yeah. This one's probably my second favorite from them. I like Born Home a little bit more. It felt more
Yeah, I did too.
in my wheelhouse of post-apocalyptic stuff, where I just like that post-apocalyptic sci-fi shit. Where this is like
Right, that was more sci-fi.
post-apocalyptic
This is more.
monster, yeah.
And
And
Gun
it,
Suits
it
is post-apocalyptic sci-fi monster.
yeah, kaiju monster,
Kaiju.
yeah, Pacific Rim kind of thing.
And at the back, if you want, you can get your Broken Moon t-shirts.
Yeah.
Which I guess they're anticipating that you would love this book so much just from reading the first issue that you're ready to go buy their shirts. I do like that picture of the Nosferatu guy.
Yeah, on the next issue. Well, oh, you
Yeah.
mean the shirt?
Yeah, they show it next month.
Yeah.
And they have the Nosferatu guy. Good stuff, Monster Mans. Dang,
Yeah.
it's monsters.
I gave it a 4 out of 5. I liked that one.
So did I.
Let's see, what else do we got? Oh, this one I like slightly. This one almost made the 5 out of 5 for me. And I'm going to describe it as a very young breakfast club that is in a superhero world that has elements of Stand By Me.
Oh, you're talking about crossed
No, I'm not talking about Crossed. I'm talking about Plutona. It's a Jeff
Plutona.
Lemire book.
Yes, this is a crossed spin-off.
And the premise of this one is it does a really good job of categorizing a bunch of characters. And what I said about Breakfast Club, I think rings true, because you got like a Judd Nelson character, you got like the geeky character. I think of him as the guy that is taking the photos of the heroes. Like, he's trying to blog about them. Like, locations
Yeah,
where they.
and he's part of the online group that follows the superheroes and stuff.
Yeah, you don't really have like the Molly Ringwald character, but you have a character that's kind of like you have two girls. One is kind of like the I guess the girl that is heavier set and she's kind of a nerd and a recluse, and then you have one that is not so much, but she has a brother that she needs to take care of. And it's cool because their friendships are really weird. It looks like the two girls are really good friends. It looks like the boy that does the blog is like a loner, you know, and
Well, the two
he's
girls are friends, but it seems like
they're
the
totally
Asian girl kind of
different.
pushes the other girl around.
Yeah. Like she made this like spiky punk rock jacket, the ones that kind of Bill likes to wear, and she wanted to wear it the whole day, and she says, "Well, just give it to me at lunch." And she did, never gave it back until the whole day was over. And she has to take care of a brother who's like totally into the technology. Like he doesn't even lift his face up. He's like on his iPad or whatever you want to say, like playing games all the fucking time. Like he doesn't even look up. And then you have a weird mystery about the main character who's in the title, and the scene like opens up with a corpse on the like there's flies around it, she's dead. And then it kind of ends with these figures, these characters that came together
Kids.
finding the body. That's the Stand By Me thing.
Right.
And then it gives you like a prequel of the actual superhero and her life before she died. If she is dead, I think she's dead. She looks dead.
Yeah, I'm assuming she's dead, given the flies and stuff.
Looking at the solicits, it looks like a really weird book. Like I don't know where they're going with it, but just even the cover art, because the cover art is always that the Asian girl with different things on her shirt and stuff, just standing there. So I don't know what the covers are giving away. I don't know where they're going with
Yeah,
it.
that's right.
But the characters are very, very interesting to me. Like this is the one I like second most. And the art style, who is the artist? I don't think I've ever seen this artist before.
Emmy Lennox.
Annie Lennox from the
Yes.
Eurythmics. Here comes the rain again.
I know she's done some indie stuff, but I'm blanking on. I'm going to look her up because I'm blanking on what she's
I liked your
done.
style for this book. I thought the art choice, the.
Oh, yeah, she did the Emmy Town, which was a, I think, like an autobiographical type thing.
Yeah, it was really, I really enjoyed it. What'd you think?
I liked it. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, same here.
Well, I'll say this, like I was totally into it, like when I was reading through it, like reading it and getting into these kids' lives and learning about them, like I was totally engrossed in their lives.
Yeah.
And then I was sad when I got to the end because it was like, oh, that's it. Like they find the body and it's like, oh, I was just getting into it.
I liked it, and I think the thing that pushed it over that I liked the ending even more was the prequel of the hero. Like
Yeah, I think
she looked
that was
like
a
she
smart
was.
move.
It was like, okay, you don't know anything about this character other than she's dead, but you get to know what that character was like before, and what she is like a hardworking woman, like who has a
She's a
daughter,
single mom.
and she has her mom take care of, and during the day she's like works double shifts and stuff as a waitress, and then at night she's this character, she's this superhero, and it looks like she's like exhausted. The way the artist depicts her, it looks like she's just like
Yeah, she's
drained.
totally, yeah.
Like she's like I don't
She's
even get to
using up
sleep
all her gas
anymore.
every day, yeah.
And she's starting to question, you know, am I a bad mother? Am I losing sight of what's really important to me? And then she's gone. And I think
Right,
it
so it's
was
the
a very smart decision to do it the way they did it.
Yeah, to show us the other side of it. It's just right now, I don't know how those two sides are going to come together. So that's kind of the unknown part for us, because we have the superhero side, and there's these superheroes, and this woman who was a hero and now she's dead, and then there's these kids who found her dead body. But like, how what's the story going to be about after this? I don't know where it's going to go. Well, I assume it's going to keep following these kids.
That could be said about like Tokyo Ghost too. I think like it ended at such a point where it like had an ending that you're like, okay, what are they going to do now? They finished their mission. What the hell's going to happen now?
Yeah,
that's
but
kind of the
that,
way this one ended.
At least that one, you know, they're going to follow those two characters.
And well, we this don't one's going to follow the kids, I would imagine. But I don't know what they're doing. I have no idea what they're doing with the superhero angle.
Yeah,
you know
how's
I mean?
The kid? Yeah, that's
no,
the part I don't know.
No,
like how the
that's
kids
the part
tie
I have
into the
no
superhero.
Idea about. I know it's going to focus on these kids, but I have no idea where the hero angle is coming from it.
But the book's called Plutona.
Yeah, and that's what's weird. She's dead.
So, I mean, the only thing you can guess is that Asian kid's going to get the powers, right?
I would guess just by the covers.
Yeah,
if I
like
had to
one of them's
guess.
Going to become a hero.
I can't find
but
the
who knows?
Book, but I started to organize shit. I wanted to look at the last page there again. Just to see. Oh yeah, they did find the boy. I couldn't remember if the boy, her brother, if he was there. He was.
Oh, yeah, because that's how they found the body, right? Because the boy ran off.
Yeah. And another plus on this is it was a $2.99 book. Yeah, I like that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
A bargain.
You bet. Okay, the next one that we both read is Power Cubed. And this one I was really excited for, and it didn't disappoint. Aaron Lopresti is one of those artists that I have had commissions from, and I absolutely love his art. Like, his art is one of the best, I think, in the industry. And this time he's writing. And this is another book I have no idea where they're going. Like, it's interesting as hell to me, because I care about the kid, I care about the dad. The two guys that are hired are interesting in a comedic sense. The villain, I don't know where they're going with it, other than he wants this cube. The cube that the father developed, which is alien technology. But it's got like a lot of stuff in it, and it's this cube also has like a Pinocchio type, what do you call it?
Robot.
Yeah, a robot.
What are you talking about?
I would
yeah,
say
he's got
it's
like...
more like a God dang it! What's that little Tinkerbell kind of thing? Where
like Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket. That's the example they used. It's a Jiminy Cricket type thing, where Jiminy Cricket's looking after Pinocchio. So, I thought it was really good, and I love the art, and I love the infinite capabilities of the cube, and that
cube.
It turn anything. It's like Firestorm ability.
Into anything else.
It's turn anything into anything else. And I would imagine it's non-organic. At least that's what I think it is. It's non-organic and anything else. So like, you could turn a toaster in a car, but the car would be the size of the toaster. So like, the mass matters, the mass and weight of the object that you're going to turn. Like, he turned a flight of stairs into a T-Rex.
Right. But
the
T-Rex was just made of stairs.
I also understand. I also like the fact that like, he had this like huge bond with his mother. So you get to know this character very well. Like, he has a huge bond with his mother. His mother passed, and he can't really
yeah, that was kind of weird.
A
I didn't really
communication
understand
level with
that
the
one.
Father. But he saw the mother in a dream, and the mother
in
was
his
trying.
dream.
Yeah, mother was trying to
But
say,
But it almost seemed like it wasn't really a dream, like she was actually talking to him.
Yeah, like he
You
had
don't know if it was
something
in his
going on.
mind or what.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
Seemed very realistic. And then he's got like a girlfriend type character that goes to school with him. And I guess he's graduating, you know, he's 18, he's ready to start his life. Had a cough attack there. I hate this part of the cough where I get that itch in my throat and it's like uncontrollable cough.
Man, there's no way to, yeah, you can't quell it. I can talk about it while you're coughing.
It's like a.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it too. My only complaint was, there's a little too much humor in it for my taste. Like with the bumbling detectives, and there are a lot. Like a lot of people had like little side comments during scenes and stuff, which I mean, there's nothing wrong with that because I guess that's what he's going for. But I guess the balance between the serious and the comedy was a little confusing to me at this point.
That wasn't confusing to me. It kind of felt like it had the right balance for me. It had the same sort of balance I thought that Donny Cates did, where it had enough seriousness, but it was done in a humorous sense.
Yeah, but the Donny Cates one, all the characters were intentionally like parodies or they were humorous characters. Even their names were humorous. Whereas this one seemed to be more
Well,
grounded in realism.
it is that formula, though, that I don't think it was grounded in realism at all. I think that's a horrible description for this book. Grounded in realism for Power Cubed? There's no realism in it at all. The only realism is the relationship between the father and the son.
Yeah,
Everything
maybe
else
that's
is
the part of it that.
fantasy it's like you don't know what's going to happen.
But it still takes place in the real world where the father's like a professor or whatever he was,
Yeah, you made this cube for him for his birthday.
who's making this invention for his kid who he has trouble communicating with. I don't know, it seemed to be more. Maybe that's the confusing part for me is the where the story takes place, like what universe kind of.
I think
But
it's
then,
our
but you're right, because
universe.
it was the bad guy is like an evil scientist kind of guy. So he was like a more humorous character. I don't
Yeah,
know.
he has like the
That's my
Nazi.
only complaint. I mean, other than that, I enjoyed it.
He
And the
has
art
like
was
the he has like an art a Nazi
beautiful.
emblem on him. Like it was Dr. something or another. I can't remember his name. But he's got like a Nazi arm patch, and then he's got like a the smiley face from The Watchmen, except it's a frowny face on his jacket. It's a very weird looking
And
villain.
his face is like kind of deformed or something, and he's got like a mask on.
Yeah, I gave it a 5 out of, I mean a 4 out of 5. I really liked it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here.
And those are the books that we both covered together. Are there any other ones you want to mention?
Together. Yeah, I do have a trade that I read.
Okay.
It's called The Divine, and this is from First Second Publications. It's by a couple brothers. It's written by Boaz Levi, who did what did he do? Let me look at I might cheat and look at the back because I don't remember. Where I think I read it. What was it called? Eastern Tel Aviv. Oh no, I guess he's done TVs and TV and stuff in Israel. Never mind. I thought he did a book. Maybe it was the artist I'm thinking of that did a book. Oh yeah, the artist did Bipolar. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. The artists are the Hanukkah brothers. I'm not gonna Tomer and Asaf. So this is I think I got this one based on the artwork, which is really nice, really beautiful, and the concept of the story. So it takes place. So the story is that this dude who I can't remember where, I think he works for like a tech company. He his friend who's I think he does like work for the military says that he has a he's like a yeah so he's like a special I don't know what the term for it is, but he gets hired by the military to come in and do jobs. So they did this job in what was it? Kuan Lam in Asia, southeastern Asia. And so the book opens with him on this mission in Asia. He's in this helicopter and they get attacked by this monster of some sort and he ends up shooting it. Then he comes back and he tells the guy, you know, we're going on this mission and we want you to come with us. You know, it pays really well. And the guy's like, well, he's getting married and he's trying to save up for a house. So he decides to go with them to this place. And I think their mission there, or they want to help with some mining, so they have to place some bombs to blow up this to go into basically this war zone. They're hired by a comp oh I think they're hired by a company that wants to do mining in this country, but the country's in the middle of a war, so they're gonna sneak in, blow up this mountain so they can get to the mine. So that's their job. And he ends up going there, and when they're placing the mine, he ends up. I can't remember. How did it actually go down? I think a kid gets hurt. Yeah, a kid gets hurt, like a little kid. So he wants to take the kid back to the parents because he's like, we can't come over here and, you know, kill a kid and, or hurt a kid and leave him. So he tries to take him into the forest because he wants to find the village and return him to his parents. And they end up meeting these two kids who are based on, you ever see the, it's like a famous photo from 2000 of these two kids in like this, who are leading an army. Let me see if it says where. Can remember, oh, in Burma. Yeah, they led a group of hundreds of refugees in East Burma called God's Army. But there's a picture of them. They're like little kids, and I think they're like 8 years old. And one of them's like smoking, like a cigar or something. It's like a pretty famous photo, but they kind of base the kids on that. So they're these two kids, and one of the brothers has like magical powers, and the kids want to get the guy to remove the bomb from the mountain before it blows up because they say there's a dragon that lives in the mountain, and that'll piss off the dragon. And it kind of goes from there. It was really good. It was really interesting, and really really well told. And the art was really beautiful. So, it gets into kind of the supernatural with the kids with these weird magical powers, and then at some point you get to see the dragon and kind of the spirits of the mountain. So it was really good, quite enjoyable. I recommend it. The Divine. So check it out. I don't know if I have anything else.
I have a couple of shout outs. Transference, which we reviewed a couple months ago, from Black Mask, even got better. Like I loved number two. So like
Cool.
it went to a 5 out of 5, so I was like, damn, this is fucking awesome. That's that time they basically
Oh,
go back
time
in.
travel one.
They use time travel technology to travel into time and rescue rich people that pay them, but they do it in subtle ways that they won't affect the time stream. And then all of a sudden, things are changing. Like, and the main character knows that things are changing because he got over alcohol. Now he's drinking again. And, like,
Oh, that
he
was the
had.
one in the first issue. There was like a train or something.
Yeah, and then he had a wife and kid. And now he doesn't have a wife and kids, so he knows something is like fucked up, and he's trying to figure
Yeah,
out
something's
what the hell
changing.
is going on. And then there's that train thing, and he's got like a partner that's a female, and then he's got like a gung-ho new guy that goes in guns a-blazing, and they're supposed to be real subtle in these time when they go back in time.
Right, to not
And
alter anything.
the one thing that's interesting is they find out that somebody else is using a time technology more advanced than theirs and is fucking them up. And he kind of goes ballistic and says, "We need to find this guy," and then gets their scientists to like develop. They actually find the time tech that they're using, and they're able to use it to try to go after him. And the difference between this guy and them is he could like let's say if they find him in the time stream and they try to kill him or something, he just goes back to himself in the current time. So it's like he's manifesting other people's bodies and shit in the time stream, and if he dies in that point in time, he's not dying. They're killing the person that is in that point in time.
Whose body he took in.
Yeah. Really good writing. It's a dense read, but damn it, it was really good.
Yeah, I really like the first issue. Glad that it is keeping up.
Another one I want to say is The Beauty is another 5 out of 5. I read the second one. This was the Jeremy Hahn book about the sexually transmitted disease. And damn it, it is so good. It's like I want to know more. It's like I want to know more about what's happening. I want the relationships that the two cops have. There's so much that happens that I like. It's so engrossing that I love it, and it's such an unusual disease that it was even probably appealing to people, even though they know it's the risk. Because if you're ugly and you could be beautiful for a little bit, is that something you want to do? But I really enjoy, and there's a lot of intrigue, and then it ends on another cliffhanger. So the last
Nice.
issue ended on a huge cliffhanger because the main
Yeah,
cop
big reveal, yeah.
got the beauty, and then this one ends on another cliffhanger, and I highly recommend The Beauty. It's like a really good read. And then I finally got around to reading DC's Thunder Agents Volume 1. I read the whole series because I couldn't put the book down. I read 1 through 6, and they kind of introduced the characters in like single issues and then an overall arcing story. And the art is amazing. It's Cafu. I think it is best. Like, this is my favorite Cafu art. And then 7 through 10 came, and I was blown a fucking way. Like, Nick Spencer, this was like Nick Spencer kicking ass. Like, we had talked about like comic books using the device where they go back in time and flashback, and all this stuff. Well, and how it doesn't always work for me. Nick Spencer kicked ass with the way he did this. And the artists they chose to do the flashbacks and stuff were so fucking good. They had Mike Grell, and Mike Grell is like one of my favorites. And Nick Dragato, I believe is his name. He did like the 50s, 60s. Mike Grell did like the 70s. And then Cafu did like the current timeline, and it was fucking amazing. And the stories they told to link the characters and the relationship to one of the Thunder Agents. Main villain, which was Iron Maiden, was an amazing. It was my favorite read of the week. 1872 from Marvel Comics by Duke Duggan, it is like an Elseworlds title that is so fucking fun to read because there's no rules in this Western town. And you grow up with these characters like Tony Stark, and you don't know what's going to happen to all these characters. If they're going to live, they're going to die, or what's going to happen. It's like the Wild West in the Marvel Universe, and I absolutely love it. And then another book that from Marvel that blew me the fuck away was All New Ghost Rider. I'll talk about more of these in Mike M's Weekly Reads, but god dang, what a series. And the way it ended, the main character, it's like Robbie Reyes. I consider him one of my favorite ghost writers now because the trauma that this guy has to go through and the linkage to it, that it's not a demon. It's like a God, I don't want to spoil it here, but I'm going to talk about it on Mike M's Weekly Reads. But you find out what's possessed him, and this is the ghost writer that drives the car. And he takes care, he's like a high school student, it seems like, that takes care of his brother, and they have no parents, and you like learn all the backstory. It's fucking amazing. Those are the only ones that I want to talk about, I think. And then I read some more post-apocalyptic, because I love Starve so much. I like love Starve. It's probably one of my favorite reads right now. And I decided to read Alan Moore's Fashion Beast, which is post-apocalyptic fashion, and that's coming together well. So I'm enjoying that.
Yeah, I need to read. I have the trade of that. I should read that so we can talk about it. So I did enjoy the first issue of that. That was a weird one, though. Very weird.
Yeah, it is very weird, but it's really cool. I like the way it's panning it out.
Yeah.
And I read some Xenoscope. Grim Fairy Tales presents the Coven. It was a witch tale. I gave it a 3 out of 5. I kind of enjoyed it. It wasn't the best, but then I read Grim Fairy Tales presents Death One Shot. That one I really, really, really liked. I really enjoyed it. I like that character a lot. The one that represents death. Really cool stuff. Midnight Society Black Lake is continuing to be really good as well. Big reveal in number 3. Good stuff. Good time to be reading comics.
There is a lot of good stuff out there. You want to cover TV and movies?
Sure.
I have watched a couple of the new shows that have been premiering. Watched the Oh man, I don't know the names of these shows.
They're so new, you don't know what they're called.
Yeah, new shows. I watched the Quantico one, which is a and I like that one. So that's about a bunch of new recruits start at Quantico and the FBI. So they're gonna do they're in training to be agents. I think there's about 25 of them or so in this class. And well, actually, it starts out where one of the students is laying on the ground in a bunch of rubble because someone blew up the building, and then it jumps back to 9 months earlier, and it introduces all these characters in this class, or a lot of them. And they do it in an interesting way. They're given the first assignment where they have to find out a secret. They're each assigned a different person in the class, and they have to find out a secret about them that no one knows, that's not in their file. So they're all investigating one another, trying to figure out what their secrets are. And then it jumps back to the present where the one girl who's the main character on the show has been brought in for they brought her in for questioning about this bombing right after it, and they're trying to figure out have her identify who in the class she thinks might have done it, but then suspicion gets pointed at her. So, and then you find out there's something you saw earlier in the show wasn't exactly what it seemed. So I think it's gonna be good because it's kind of rather than be like a police procedural, it's about this bombing that happened and they'll probably slowly reveal information about the different members in the class, and you'll try and you'll find out about them. So I think it's a good way of framing a show different. So it's kind of a big mystery that's going to be examined throughout the season. So I liked it. I'm glad it wasn't just a repeat of all the FBI type shows that are on where they just
are investigating. What show is this on? Quantico,
yeah.
I never heard about it. How do you spell that?
I don't know.
Quantico.
Q-U.
Like quantum and then A-C-O? Quantico?
I think so. Quant ICO. That's my guess. But I liked it because it was different than... I like stuff that's like a big mystery and they're going to reveal parts as the season goes on. Yeah. As opposed to just being I was worried that if it was just going to be like another FBI show where they're going after a serial killer each week or whatever, then I'm not going to watch that. This is something different. I like the mysteries. So that was good. I also watched another one that's a mystery. Blind Spot? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that one is supposed to be like a character. I mean, like a movie based on the movie, isn't it?
I don't know. Was it a movie?
No, I thought it was based on the ones with Matt Damon. What is that, like, trilogy with Matt? Born Again, yeah. Isn't it the Bourne formula? Or am I thinking of a different...
Yeah, it is the same formula. I don't know if it's related to it or not.
Well, if it's the same formula, then it's related to it. If it's the Bourne formula.
Well, this show is a naked girl covered in tattoos wakes up in Times Square. And they bring her back to FBI headquarters or wherever. And they figure out that the tattoos on her body are clues. Like one is like a date, I think. Or one's like an address. So they go to the address to stop a bombing. So it seems like the tattoos on her are predicting future events that they now have to go stop. But then they kind of reveal... in the first episode that we don't know who this girl is, but it turns out that she has like abilities. Like she's like a really good fighter and stuff. So they figure that she's like some kind of an agent who had her memory wiped.
I actually think in the previews, like before the show started, it actually said based on Bourne something. Like it made a reference to Bourne Identity.
Okay. But I also like it because the main character is Sif, so.
Lady Sif?
Like the actress who plays.
So it's Lady by Sif, it's a yeah. Marvel show? Lady Sif is
No, it's
it?
Just the same actress.
I didn't know about this. Lady Sif?
Yeah, she doesn't know it though. She has amnesia, so she doesn't know that she's actually a god.
Oh wow. I gotta check that out.
It ties the Bourne Identity to the Marvel Universe.
Well, the only shows that I'm watching are more of the same, except Gotham. I've watched the first two of that. I think it's an amazing season so far. I'm
still finishing the last season.
It is so chaotic. And, I mean, the theme of this season is villains, and they mean it, and it's brutal. It's a brutal season. My God, it started with a bang with the first episode, and then it got progressively worse in Gotham. And we talked about it a lot on DC Noise, and... had a lot of discussion on Gotham, so I'm not going to go on it here. You could go listen to DC Noise, and we talk about every detail about it. The other one's Walking Dead. Okay.
I will say in in watching the tail end of last season of Gotham, I think I have like three episodes left or two episodes left. I will say that I like the Fish character more like at the end than at the beginning. Like I think she seems to be less a parody as the show went on.
I agree. I agree.
Like, because like at the beginning I hated her because she was such a parody of a character, but like as the season's gone on, I think
Way more interesting. Yeah.
she became like a more real character as the season went on. So she, whatever she did, she, I don't know if like the actress like thought they were going for something different than they were going for at the beginning, or they just did give her the proper direction, but it seems like they got it more, they fixed it as the season went on.
Yeah. So that has been Gotham has been I've been really really happy with, and I'm still, I am still enjoying Fear of Walking Dead. I like where they're going with it. There's only one episode left. It was like a six-ish episode, so tonight will be the last episode until they come back. So very short season,
I
and
think I'll like it.
I really like this last episode. All I could see is people giving it shit, like on Facebook and Twitter, and I just ignore it. I just like do my own thing, and I enjoy it. Me and Barb enjoy it. It's not my favorite, but like I like Gotham a hell of a lot more than that. And the other show that I'm not done with, but I absolutely think it's amazing. Like it's just an adrenaline rush that I like to watch is The Strain. This last episode, it's like third from the end, where the vampire, like they got this part of New York that's surrounded by water, and that it's the humans are relatively safe there, but the vampires invade this island and it is brutal. I mean, they go to the power. And it's cool because these humans, they know about the vampires. They know like ultraviolet light will hurt them. So the vampires invade the power company immediately, and then all hell breaks loose. And the one lady that's kind of like the leader of the group, it really stands out as a true leader in the series. And I didn't know where they were gonna go with that character because she's so like minor. But they really have built her up as a true leader. So yeah, The Strain is amazing. Like that show is no holds barred, fucking awesome. And that show has got one episode left too. So then I start like the new Flash and the new Arrow this week, and we watch the Muppets. And I thought
I
that
still haven't
was
watched that.
good.
I still haven't watched that. Need to watch that movie.
I
Heard
like it.
mixed reviews.
I like it because it has the same sensibility and humor as the old TV show, but with an office context. In other words, it's filmed like the American version of The Office, where they'll like they have a camera interviewing the characters. So I kind of like it. I like that. Then they'll have a musical guest, an actual guest, and I think it works well, like it did in the old. They don't have as much skits, but they're kind of like they'll have a short musical interlude and then have stuff. I like it. Barb likes it too, and she's a Muppets fan. So fuck all you
Well, she would
haters.
know. Yeah,
Yeah,
she's the
fuck all you
expert.
guys that hate on the Muppets. Oh, we have some questions from Geek Brunch.
Yes.
Oh, any movies? I have the stills.
The only thing I watched that Unfriended movie, which I think you talked about on the show before.
Oh yeah.
The Skype horror movie.
I like that one.
It was really well done. It was short as hell, but it was really good. They did an awesome job of pulling it off. So that's recommended. It's a
All right,
very
well,
unique take on a horror movie.
Yeah, I like horror movies that are different. I still have to see the one you saw. I think It Follows and a couple others that I want to
That's
see.
a good one.
So, Per Hedman says, could you do a shout out for his comic strip? And yeah, he does a comic strip on Facebook called The Far Dark Side, and it's pretty much like the Far Side with Darth Vader. So he does these little sketches of Darth Vader doing various things. And you could check that out on Facebook by searching for in the search window The Far Dark Side. So that's Per. Let's see, what else we got? Chris Ivy says, does Bill use WD-40 on his rusted stomach staples?
I did for a little bit, but the taste got to me after a while, so I stopped.
Oh, you would drink it?
I got to get it down into my stomach.
Oh, I thought you would anally inject it.
I didn't think of that. That
And
makes sense. The
go the other way,
little
that way you don't have
straw.
to
Yeah, the
taste it, you
straw.
know.
I'll have to try that tonight. Yeah.
It
Good idea. Thank you, Chris.
was
Thank you
my
for
idea.
bringing this up. What?
It was
But
my idea.
now it's Chris's question, so I'm gonna
It's
give him
his question, but
thank you, Chris,
thank
for
me.
probably saving my life. Probably saving my
I
life.
saved your life. I saved your life.
Right, what's the next question?
Why do you turn this on me? You don't give me credit for shit. Donnie Salvo says, how long does it take for Bill to eat a whole donut?
I always finish the donut within the day.
Oh, so.
Well, it's very rare that I would eat half a donut one day and then the other half the next day. So usually probably I would
You
say
don't
about
want it
like
to get
4 to 6 hours.
stale.
Yeah, you don't want to get stale. So like four, I'd say 4 to 6 hours it takes me to eat a donut.
Yeah, it's a damn shame. These aren't even big donuts. They're not even like foot-long donuts. What the fuck is this? This is a little
I
donut.
do that with not Boston cream, Bavarian cream.
But they're not Long Johns, right?
No, they're big though.
They're the small.
Like a
Boston cream
pudding.
are just a fucking. What
Not Boston,
the fuck?
Bavarian cream, not Boston
I
cream.
could eat fucking three Bavarian creams in one sitting and then still have two glazed donuts. So fuck you, Bill. All right.
Well, maybe after I stick some WD-40 on my ass, I'll be able to more. I'll let you know. I'll let you know.
I saved your life.
Thank you, Chris Ivy, once again.
Chris Ivey didn't save you. Norbert Franz says, this one's kind of funny because, are you going to see Star Wars The Force Awakens together? Anything special planned for that? Like a big geek brunch night? You know, that would be the most expensive movie fucking ticket in the fucking world has ever spent. That would require me or Bill to fly. He'd have to fly to Colorado, or I'd have to fly to Chicago. And yeah, we might have free room and board. That would be expensive as shit. So no, I don't think that'll ever happen. It would be nice if it happened.
Well, this is Norbert, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's used to smaller countries, so he doesn't realize how big America is, I don't think. He thinks it's like the size of
Oh, he thinks we could
a
drive
European
there.
country. Yeah, you could just drive from one side to the
To
other.
the other, yeah.
So it's an understandable mistake.
If we had to drive, what, it would take a week?
But if it happened to open like on Heroes Weekend or something,
I know.
that would be awesome. Or not open, but be playing around that time.
And that's all our questions. So this has been Geek Brunch with Mike and Bill. Eat your veggie meatballs. And I'm so glad you brought up that question, Chris, because I saved Bill's life.
Just thank you, Chris, for saving my life. I owe you a beer.
Bullshit. What about my beer?
What?
least buy me an iced
Thank
tea.
you. Thank. Okay. Fine. Fine. Thank you, Mike, for reading Chris's question on the air. Thank you for proposing the question so that Chris could ask it and save my life. I credit you for being a part of that.
And you could see Bill process. Bomer's lies and on Twitter at DBM00.
Yes, watch for my announcement of my new comic, The Guesser and the Liquor.
Oh, no, you bullshit. My guess, that's my guesser. You're the liquor.
No, my guesser is going to be in it. Not your guesser.
And Blind Moon, my creation of Blind Moon. Blind Moon, The Guesser, and The Liquor. I wrote all of them.
We're going to have a team pretty soon.
Yes. It could be like All-Star Section 8, the characters we created. All right. And we're on Facebook. You could go Geek Brunch Podcast and click the like button. And thank you for sending questions. That was a last minute
feature.
Not only a last minute feature, but a last minute feature where I saved Bill's life. And so I want to thank you.
But nothing.
I saved Bill's life.
Why are you always going to take credit for stuff other people do?
The other thing that's awesome is I am the editor of this podcast, and I could just edit your fucking ass.
But you're not going to.
Yeah, I'm too fucking lazy. That's why I'm going for you.
I can say whatever I want, and you won't change anything.
Mike and Bill at comicbooknoise.com. And leave us an iTunes review, man. We haven't had an iTunes review since 2014. It's already going to be 2016. So get off your ass. Leave an iTunes review.
I don't even know how to get to iTunes.
Well, you're helping the situation like a lot, because you're saying you can't get to iTunes and you're asking for the iTunes reviews. So you motherfucker, go do WD-40 your ass right now.
How do you know I haven't already?
What else do we have? I think that's it. GeekBrunchPodcast.com. And we'll see you next in 2 weeks. Bye-bye. Yep.
Bye-bye.
See you, Bill. Bye.
Bye.
And then there's a couple of winkers, see?
Yeah.